He's like, fuck Aquaman. And he's like, no, don't say that. Why would you say that about Aquaman? And he's like, he bangs chicks, good for him. He fucks dudes, got no problem with that. He starts fucking fish, taking it a step too far. And he's like, no, he doesn't. I refuse to believe that. And he's like, well, I refuse to believe that Pepe the Frog 89 is lying to me for no good goddamn reason.
Welcome to Because Nerd. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, joined today by two of my best and oldest friends, Clint.
What's up, Chris?
And Mike.
Hey, now.
Today, we're going to be talking about the man who loves peace so much, he'll kill as many people as it takes to get it, Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Guys, I got to say, this is hands down, easily, without doubt, one of my favorite shows I've seen in the last decade, maybe further back.
Okay, quick before we jump into it. So we were all looking forward to it coming out. I kind of already know the answer that it basically far exceeds expectations, but is that how you feel about it? Like, it's way better than you totally expected?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, going into it, I was thinking of it more like, it'll probably be, like, in the lines of, like, a Doom Patrol.
Which was also excellent.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too. But it's, I guess if I put a comparison, right, Doom Patrol's really good, but it's not The Boys.
Right.
I feel like Peacemaker is right up with The Boys at the least the same level, if not even almost fucking better. It's so goddamn good.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's probably the best DC offering that we've had of all time. Like, I can't think of another DC movie that I like. Like, I love The Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises and stuff. I just saw the Batman, and that was okay. It was cool, whatever. But, like, for the most part, there's not another show besides Doom Patrol and then Suicide Squad 2. But Peacemaker, by far, like, one, it's hilarious. The comedy is awesome. The special effects are fucking amazing. Eagly looks like a real goddamn eagle through the whole show.
Yeah.
My wife and I continued to say to each other, like, oh my God, that eagle looks real, man. Like, it's crazy. But, like, yeah, it, the best, hands down, I think, DC film or TV show in a very long time, if not forever, in my opinion.
Yeah. The new Suicide Squad movie, the second one, or reimagining, whatever we call that, is basically the prelude to this. They're clearly a series timeline that exists between them. And
right.
That seems like a huge reboot within the whole DC cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
They've obviously been struggling for years. They were behind the power curve on trying to figure out how to make a cinematic universe. Marvel was just fucking owning shit for a decade.
Oh, dominating.
Cranking them up.
And, I mean, there was... I mean, I'm not fully in the know, but I mean, from my understandings, there was just too many chiefs sitting in a room thinking that they knew more shit than they did and calling shots that they shouldn't have been calling and, like, you know, just basically disrupting the way that all that was could have maybe worked out well, but never gave it a chance because they just kept harpooning it long before it ever turned into anything. So it's nice to see that they finally figured out a way to get themselves into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And find exactly mm-hmm. what that core should be. Because I hope that this manages to extend over into further properties that they start to come out with. Because this is where it's finally starting to feel like they've got something that it's like, okay, this is where your wheelhouse is. Stick with this, please.
Totally agree to that. And interestingly, I think, like, I look at the Marvel Universe as it's already peaked. Like, they're now kind of on the downward side. Not that they won't make some great movies and shows like Hawkeye and stuff like that, but DC is now climbing up to their peak. I think we're going to see some awesome shit from them coming.
Well, I agree with both of you guys, but the one thing I feel, first of all, James Gunn is awesome, and he can probably make pretty much anything hilarious and funny, and just look at the stuff that he's done. It was fantastic.
He's definitely a secret weapon. Yeah,
he's a secret weapon, right? And think of what other DC properties you could do this with, right? Like, you couldn't make a Batman movie, you know, fucking hilariously over the top. You can't make a Superman movie hilariously over the top. Like, there's only certain characters they can do that with.
Wait, I wish that someone would try to take a Batman and kind of, I mean, I don't want to see Adam West Batman, but that existed. There has been.
That would be hilarious, though. Mm-hmm.
There's an incarnation of that. Imagine if, like, there was a modern day version
of
trying to resequelize Batman to that.
Oh my God. Dude, okay. They clearly have no issues rebooting Batman. I mean, like, there's going to be another Batman in the new Flash movie coming out. Like, they clearly gave up and were like, fuck continuity, multiverse Batman everywhere. I swear to God, if James Gunn came out with a Batman movie and it was Peacemaker-esque or even a show, Jesus Christ, I would probably, you know, write fan mail in and confess my love for Batman at that point. That's how cool it would be.
Killing Batman is off. We're done. That segment's over.
Yeah, it's done. Like, no more killing Batman. No more killing. He wins. He fucking wins now.
Yeah, yeah. So who plays James Gunn's Batman, though?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, Lord, Mike, you're...
That's a good one, man. I'm trying to think of, like... So who's an actor that plays like real broody, but he's like real bad at it? Kind of like Bill Hader. Bill Hader would be an excellent Batman.
Dude, I'd love to see a Bill Hader Batman.
Because he plays the awkward kind of funny.
Okay, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, because if we're going funny, we don't really need a guy that's buff and like look the part. We just need a guy that can act as a funny role.
Right, right.
They never pick a guy who's buff and looks the part. Like
They never do.
I keep waiting to see like a Rock Batman. Like what? There's I want to see someone who matches. I mean, this is a different avenue than what we're talking about now, but I've always wished that they would pick an actor for Batman that is like what you see in the animated series. Like Batman and Superman both look like fucking world champion bodybuilder people, but for real life casting, they always just get some scrawny guy.
Yeah. Case in point, though, it brings up, we're going to get into it, I'm sure, with more, but like Peacemaker, the show, dives into this whole thing, right? The first time he's like in the hospital and he's looking at the x-ray of his clavicle and he's like, hey doc, can you up the imaging on that fucking x-ray? It looks like I don't even work on my muscles. Like I always pay a lot of attention to my small muscle groups, but like, it's just not coming out right here. And then he goes and he's like, I'm a superhero. He's like, you're not a fucking superhero. You're too big to be a superhero. And he's like, too fucking big. I'm ready to go. And he's like, no, no, no. You're way too big for a superhero. Like just that kind of shit is what makes it perfect.
Okay. So I'm going to drop the Batman thing after this, but say that, you know, James Gunn doesn't make a Batman movie. But you did have the cameos at the end of the Peacemaker season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe there's episodes where you can take a character in like that and Batman can be incorporated in a comedic way into that. I could see scenes like that happening.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the wholesomeness of it all, like DC has always had this wholesomeness where like a rated R version of anything, even Dark Knight was PG-13 and that was like borderline skirting the dark, right? But I'm very happy you bring up the end of the movie and or the end of the show with the Justice League. Like they finally have started to not take themselves so seriously and wholesome because spoiler alert, but when Aquaman, he's like, I fucking hate that guy. Right. And he's like, I don't fuck fish. And he's like, yeah, it's not a rumor. You know, like they're starting to let their characters be known. And then in Peacemaker 2, when they go into the whole, like Batman's a pussy. He just fucking beats him up, puts him in Arkham Asylum so they can get out and kill some more people. Like dude. That's another reason why this is one of my favorite shows of all time, because of the shit talking for Batman. But anyway,
Jason Momoa is the best choice to make that kind of move too.
Mm-hmm.
Like he fits it, right? The portrayal that they've developed Aquaman to be within that cinema universe makes sense, right? It completely makes sense that he would talk like that on occasion. You know?
Yeah, totally. He's the badass guy who drinks whiskey and, you know, litters into the ocean, even though his home is the ocean.
So we were talking about a minute ago the differences in Marvel and DC. And so like in broad terms, I've always thought of Marvel as feeling like the stories are more about the story, about the world, the connections of the teams that are there. And I mean, they're huge. The property's going forever, so they clearly do character pieces. But it feels like the focus, whenever I think of my mental image of Marvel, it's like team-based, world-based. DC, it's very much the opposite. I mean, you think of the name of Gotham or Metropolis or something like that, but there's not like scenes and stuff like that. You just think of like Gotham is Batman, Metropolis is Superman, those kind of things. It's so character based.
Yeah.
And that's always been the way that I've kind of perceived it, is that DC takes so much more focus to just be strictly on building up the character piece.
Right.
About that. And when they started trying to make a cinematic universe, especially when they wanted to just jump into tying their pieces together, they did a real shit job of trying to like outline their characters prior to it. That was one thing that Marvel, even though they knew they were building up to do team stuff, they were like, we need to make sure these characters are well-defined and outlined and everything like that. And along the way, they just happened to find kind of a comedic rhythm that matched the action pace that they were trying to hit to keep it comic and lively. But in the DC world now, part of being so character-based, there's a lot of grittiness to those. And we definitely saw that they tried to lean that way with the Superman movies. He was very tortured.
Oh, yeah.
In Man of Steel and then leading into the Batman v Superman. A lot of darker images. I don't think the movies were great. They're not my favorites, but
Right.
That was definitely the tone they were going with. And then they got to Justice League and they just didn't know how to balance any of those pieces together anymore. That's what I really love about Peacemaker now, to try to get it back to this, is I don't know that this dark humor will fit every single character, but at least they finally found something that's like, oh, this could be our shtick. This is where this can kind of work for us. And they're still very much hitting on the character. Like, right. It's a Peacemaker show, but they've figured out how to make right. that jive with a certain, the theme and the vibe of that kind of dark comedy sense that mm-hmm. lets the world expand as well around him. I love his team. The team's freaking awesome. The
team's amazing.
Totally amazing.
But it's not a team show though. It is the Peacemaker show. And anyway, I love the balance. They've got that thing spinning, you know, it's not toppling at this point. And I hope they can figure out how to stretch that to more of the shit in the universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a long way to go with it, because really Peacemaker is you call that a Suicide Squad team, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they are, right? Put together by forgetting the lady that runs the
Waller.
Amanda Waller. Okay, there you go. Yeah, Amanda Waller. Yep. The characters that you bring in are kind of inherently going to be the crazier ones, right? Like Vigilante was like a huge favorite part to me.
Best fucking
in that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just the whole way, just the funniness of him thinking that Peacemaker is his best friend, right? Mm-hmm. That whole dynamic was hilarious.
Yep.
And like some of the scenes, like when he's going to go basically, you know, take care of Peacemaker's dad or whatever, right? Oh, while he's in jail.
That's an epic scene.
Just fucking him up. Oh, and, so good.
Yeah. Just like, holy shit, that was awesome.
He walks over to the garbage can. He's like, starts throwing the garbage can.
Drags it in front of a bunch of cops while they're having their lunch break.
Right?
Just smashes the window.
Like, what the fuck are you doing, man? He's like, what the fuck? Come get me.
Yeah.
But you know what I loved about that? I mean, that was actually, I think I might have talked to Chris about this offline once. That was one of my favorite scenes in the entire show. He goes into prison, right? And before he gets in there, he's this kind of goofy. You can tell he's kind of a badass. Like, he knows how to fight. He's a tough dude, but he's like this weird, goofy, lengthy guy. People make fun of him. But as soon as he gets into prison and his focus is on his best friend, you know, like taking care of his best friend, he turns on like the wit. Like, his fucking jokes are amazing. And he walks up to the table, and I can't remember what he says, but he's a fucking badass in that
scene. Was he like, hey, all you sister fuckers, what's going on around here?
Exactly.
Let's go around the table and say what our favorite thing is America's done for black people or something.
Yeah, exactly. And that dude, he nails it, man. And like, and that brings up another good point. Like, DC... Okay, and I'm gonna bring this back around, but like, I am absolutely on board 100% with, you know, making the world a better place and not having so much racism and hate and all. Obviously, I really want that, and I feel like.
Wait, are you taking the hard stance of being anti-racism right now?
Yeah. Yes, I am not for racism.
No, he's just saying it does not matter. He'll kill as many people as it takes.
Okay.
To get there.
I will kill as many people as it takes to end racism. He's like, wait a minute. So like, you only kill people of color. He's like, what? I can't help the people if I find them. And he's like, I just want you to pay more attention to white people doing it. He's like, okay, that's fair. That was also in the Peacemaker show. So anyway, comedy and like satire, I think, is the best way to tackle kind of really shitty issues, right? And Peacemaker and DC have done that so fucking well, because I couldn't imagine it. When I was like, oh God, his dad's Red Dragon and he's like the ultimate racist. And they make
White
a ton
Dragon.
Of race, White Dragon.
Yeah.
They make a ton of like racist jokes and like all of these weird homophobic things. And like, but they do it in a way that's comedic. That's like, you guys, it's bad. We're making fun of ourselves in a society and we're showing you why it's wrong in a very funny way. And like that, it was done so well, man. Like, Marvel hasn't done that. Who else has done that? Nobody. And that's the way I feel about, like, laugh about it and get it out there and make the point that, like, yeah, this shit's terrible and these people are dumb. And this is, you know, it's funny to laugh at them. So
that was it's something that I wanted to get to when we talked about this, was Peacemaker's dad. Obviously, he's a complete piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the scenes where he makes the two boys fight each other, right? And then Peacemaker basically beats his brother to death. And then the dad gets all mad at him. Mm-hmm. They're like in a trailer park. Like, he's got a mullet. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like complete, like, poor, right? Mm-hmm. But then in the house that he has this amazing room with like all this high tech gear and everything. So
yeah, quantum dimension side pocket realm, right, whatever, like, the fuck he's supposed to have. But yeah.
Okay. I can buy that he's smart and okay. But where did you get all that money? And then how did this work out? Like, how do you get to this point? You see what I'm saying? Because like when he finally comes out in his racist Iron Man suit, you're like, really? He's got an Iron Man suit too?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That part is, it's funny because they did a good job. Because again, like we said, we're going from comics to real world. And there are just some things have to give. And it's just, I don't know if it's James Gunn's genius or the team that he put around it. But however it came together, they realize certain things you don't have to yield on. And there's stuff like that. It's just the explanation is because comics. It's like, why does this dude have this weird side pocket world where he's created the most like super high tech stuff? And they did such a good job of presenting it in a way that it doesn't throw you off the show. It's like, yeah, that fit, man. That's of course that happened. Like, it's the DC world, man. That just happens sometimes. Like,
oh yeah, no, 100%. Like, it doesn't throw me off from it. It's just a funny way to think about it. Like,
yeah,
okay, this dude's that, and then he has all this.
Well, you know what? You know what? No, you know what's cool about this though? The reason it worked is because the character development and the awe, like the shock and awe of him being such a crazy racist and a redneck, you were too busy like focused on that to almost like disregard the tech. Because you're like, yeah, he's got a bunch of crazy tech. Where'd it come from? I don't care. But that dude just said what? And he's the And he's a superhero that's a racist. And then, you know, and then I got to say, he's in there looking at the helmets. And he's like, this one will give you scabies. He's like, scabies? Why would I want scabies? He's like, challenge yourself. Every man should have scabies once in their life. And it's like a helmet that gives you scabies? What the fuck? And when Eagly, he's like, no, really, he can do it. He's going to take the helmet. And he's going to fly it over there and drop it on the roof. And he just fucking takes off and gets a... Oh, my God. Oh, that was the best, dude. I love that shit so much. Anyway, I think the start of it was like Doom Patrol, because it did as well as it did, is what kind of led into this. But I really do hope that they continue kind of like how they did with Thor. Like, if you remember in Guardians of the Galaxy, that was pretty funny. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy had some really good humor in it. Right. Obviously, we know who directed that. And then when Thor Ragnarok came out, dude, I laughed like gut laughed really hard when the Hulk jumps out of the jet and hits the ground and like you basically think he dies. Right.
Right.
Like that kind of humor, it goes to show, and I'll kind of counterpoint myself from what I said originally, is like you can take other characters and make it just as funny, just like Marvel did in that one scene with Hulk. If they took Peacemaker and did that with the DC universe. And made the just amp the jokes up a little more because they're trying.
Yeah.
So hopefully this steers them in that direction.
Yeah.
I do hope that DC stays on the path and vibe and everything that they have right now, because I think I liked Ragnarok. Definitely funny parts. As it keeps going further, they went way too far with Thor. He's getting really stupid at this point.
I think he's coming back.
Yeah. The whole Thor thing has just been on a weird trajectory because the first two movies were so serious. I mean, it was like a Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
Then they were like, we're kind of killing this in the bad way. Like we're killing this thing, driving it into the ground because it's a little too over the top. And then they went ahead and flipped it to funny. And now it's like they're on a course correction. But and similar thing, I mean, right now, at least with Peacemaker, DC is right in the fucking sweet spot. And I mean, chances are there'll be some stinkers. And then hopefully there'll be some more good ones too. Because, I mean, it's usually you can't just keep nailing it constantly. Something kind of gives. I'll tell you, we kind of mentioned it a little bit, and I didn't get a chance to say it earlier. Mike, you were talking about the Marvel movies feeling like they've peaked. I feel like Marvel, in a way, is possibly on a rebound. And the rebound will not look like the original thing. The original thing is done.
Yeah.
That did peak. But I tell you, surprisingly, Hawkeye was one of my favorite fucking shows. I didn't expect it to be as endearing as it is. I feel like they're trying to find what the new rhythm needs to look like because they know they can't keep doing what the old shit is.
Right.
Already done. So I've got my fingers crossed that Marvel is figuring out a way. They have to live with the history they've created. That you don't get to start this again. It started. You got to figure out how you keep it going and how that works from here out.
Which you've had a great track record. And there's been a lot of movies, you know, which is good.
Yeah, no doubt.
So like with DC, their track record fucking sucks. So
it's terrible.
Prior to this.
It's all terrible. Up.
And I think real quick on the Marvel thing, I agree with what you're saying, Chris. And I think they have to adapt and find a new way. And they will, because like right now it feels like it's a weird lull.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Marvel, don't sleep on them yet, right? They're going to have some fucking shit.
Okay. I have to backtrack a bit then. I will say that they haven't peaked, but I think, like you said, like the Avengers part of it, that's peaked, it's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, like I said before, I think there's going to be great stuff that continues coming, but yeah.
You know what? I found something real quick. You know, we talked about how, you know, they didn't really say anything about White Dragon having tech. That's a lie, because there is one Vigilante at one point in the show goes, well, I guess your dad is pretty brainy for a racist. And I was like, that's all you need. That's all you need right there. Call him brainy for a racist. And that just explained that entire fucking room they went into.
Oh, man.
I know I've already said this on Vigilante, but he was just definitely a big favorite part of mine. Like just his dialogue and, you know, he is a badass as he goes along.
Mm-hmm.
He's, but really, again, the whole team is great, right? Like
Vigilante is so weird, like how he's a bona fide sociopath, though.
He is.
Like, and that's part of what's funny about him is like, that's why he doesn't understand how people work. Like, he just doesn't get it. Yeah.
He's and, like, you wanted to kill him, but you're worried about the fucking duct tape hurting him? And he's like, yeah. You were about ready to kill all three of them, and you're worried about the duct tape. And he's like, well, yeah.
That's why, like, he's funny because when you first see him, yeah, you could tell, like, he's got these weird hangups about Peacemaker because he clearly doesn't understand the relationship. You don't know if he's just, like, a weird fanboy that just thinks he's cool and isn't really there or anything like that. You never really find it out until, like, the prison scene. His dialogue just goes into, like, overdrive, and you can tell,
and
like,
his determination is the one thing, too.
You're like, this dude's seeing clear, even though he's got a weird perspective. Like, it's the clarity's there. And then, especially when he sits down at that table, I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, is he about to be like broken and bloody when this thing's over with? And then it's insane the way that he just handles himself and is like, oh no, this dude can kick some ass. Like
that's why it was so good, right? Because like they built him up to be like, oh no, this guy's going to get his ass kicked by these dudes in prison. Like, you know, this is where we get to see him like get really hurt. And that's going to make Peacemaker feel bad because he's really hurt. And it's, no. Completely opposite of that. Like it was one of the coolest scenes in the entire fucking show. Oh man, that dude's great.
That being said, I mean, there was a lot of great action fight scenes in the way they did it. Like the one where Peacemaker's trying to get out of that, like the apartment building, and he falls down like the chute. And he's like smacking on the railings, it's bouncing off the ground, and he's just like, oh, I'm all fucked up. Like,
oh my god,
all done so well.
The whole scene leaning into that, he goes to the bar and he gets in that thing with Hardcore. And he's like, you know, just that whole exchange was hilarious, right? We should talk shit about him. He's oblivious. And then he finds that like rocker mullet chick and goes back to her apartment. They, you know, have their sex, which was like a funny scene. He's listening to old 80s, like, you know, fucking butt rock and having a good time. And then she just proceeds to fuck him up the entire time, which that's another thing I wanted to talk about with Peacemaker. He has no powers, right? He literally is just a guy who's pretty highly trained. In the Suicide Squad movie, he's a badass. Like he fucks up a lot of stuff in this, but in the show, he's wrestling with his ideals and killing anybody and doesn't want to kill kids. And I think that's why he's kind of a little bit more held back. Because towards the end, you see he gets to be a badass again, kind of like they did in Winter Soldier and the Falcon. There was a scene where Falcon just keeps getting his ass kicked, and you're like, how is this dude getting his ass kicked? But it's because he's holding back. When he gets back into that persona of the Winter Soldier when he's in Madripoor. And he fucking wrecks that entire club of dudes. You're like, oh, I get it. Same thing with Peacemaker. Like he gets his ass kicked a lot, but it's because he has an issue, right? Yeah, when he finally turns it on, he's fucking everybody up.
That's why it's funny at the end when they're like giving him shit about like, oh, you're supposed to be a badass. You can't fucking do shit. He's like, you don't want to kill people. And they're like, how are we going to take you in here if you can't kill someone? He's like, I don't mind killing bugs. I just don't want to kill innocent people. Like, yeah, fuck this, man. No problem.
All right. Exactly.
Clint, I wanted to say, like, you made me remember Peacemaker's origin story because Amanda Waller gives it in Suicide Squad. But, like, it's so funny because for Deadshot, when she had called him in, she's like, I want you to lead this team. She's like, you know, it's a very special team. Everyone here has special abilities. And he's like, oh, he's like, I don't want to do it. And she's like, no, you're going to need everybody here. Everyone here is exceptional. And so she's like, you've been trained by your father to be a special killer, special forces assassin type weapon specialist. And then they go to fucking Peacemaker. And she says the same shit. And then he's like, I thought you said the team has elite people on it. Like, we're the exact same description.
Dude, and just reminded me too, they're in the briefing and he's like, Operation Starfish. He's like, excuse me, Starfish, that's also a reference for a butthole. Any connection? He's like, no.
Okay, just check it.
I'm just going to keep throwing these out because they're in front of me. But one of the best Vigilante lines is, what separates us from other killers is that we only kill bad people, usually, unless there's a mistake. But what can you do?
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude. So God, I wanted to go back and rewatch the entire episode before we talked about the entire season before we talked about it. But like, I feel one of the reasons that the show was so good too, is they did a very good job connecting you with Peacemaker. You felt bad for him. Like, you really do start to feel bad for Peacemaker because, you know, the way he was raised, his dad was a dick. He's got a big heart, but he's just too stupid to kind of fucking to see it or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that was another really, really good part of the show, is they connected you with the characters, which, in typical DC fashion, that is not the norm, right? Like, they never set a character up well enough to get you to like them enough. Like Superman, it's the same story over and over again, right? Like, think about Justice League and stuff. Even The Flash, when they introduced The Flash into the DCEU, and you're like, he's just a kid living in a fucking house somewhere stealing stuff. But with Peacemaker, they really focus on the fact that, like, getting to know the characters, which is where Marvel went so well. They were like, we will give you an entire movie about a character where we develop nothing but their backstory, so when the Avengers come together, you'll fucking fall in love with all of them. And that's, DC's never really done that because they keep doing the same properties over and over again. How many times can you see Martha and Thomas Wayne get shot in a fucking alleyway, you know?
Where I gave a whole thing earlier about how DC is all about the character piece, that is the funny dichotomy about this, mm-hmm. where the characters are so well defined, they can't explore a whole lot of nuance to the character.
Right.
So,
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's totally true.
Whereas the Marvel stuff, like I was saying, where it's all more about the story and the teams and everything, the characters get to diversify who they are and expand a lot more character development within it, because you're kind of always seeing them expand into more relationships. Whereas the DC stuff is like really hard to branch out much from that path that they've already created for that.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Other than the Joker. Now, I could eat my own words, because the Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, that was an origin story too, but it was an origin story that you've never seen or heard about, which was fucking brilliant, which is why it worked so well.
I hope this gets back to what we're talking about, is I'm hoping that DC is starting to figure out how to go down this road right now, because that's, again, what we're sitting here saying. Peacemaker has done an amazing job at figuring out how to thread that needle finally. And Doom Patrol's done a pretty good job as well of putting a lot more character development and seeing a more lively world. Not that they were like a super well-defined team before. It's not like the common person knew who they were, but they're figuring out how to get some character in there. It will be hard to do with their main properties, because it's just the baggage is going to be there. But yeah. This might start to give them the doorway where we can see some more of that stuff start to come out.
The other thing with Peacemaker, like, we've talked about the characters, character development, having empathy for those characters and the comedy, which is all fantastic. But there's other layers to it that they did amazingly well. And like, the one thing, perfect example is that intro, right?
Oh, now, God, so glad you brought it up.
Anytime I watch an intro, doesn't matter what right? Like, you're watching Netflix or whatever it is you're watching, skip intro every single time.
Yep.
But this is the funny part, right? So I think I saw a tweet one day where I think it was Patton Oswalt tweeted that, like, I will never fast forward or skip the intro on Peacemaker. And like, soon after that, you know, my wife and I are watching Peacemaker, and I go to skip the intro. She's like, don't skip the intro.
Yeah.
So
best part.
We've been watching the intro.
I'm a not skipper. And I mean, I'm with you on all other things. I mean, I can't hit the skip intro fast enough on most shows. Yep. Peacemaker, I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna learn the dance is what I gotta figure. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
and the song is infectious, right? It's
it is really great.
It's like, you just like, oh, this is fucking such a happy, cool song. I love it.
It is really great. And then, so on top of that, right, that's just a very brilliant, creative intro, right? Get you into it, so good that people don't want to skip it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the music selections, it's a bit like Cobra Kai, right? Like, where Johnny Lawrence likes, you know, he's into his 80s music or whatever. So, like, for one, I was into 80s music, right, when I was a kid. So there's that nostalgia value. So I love all that when you're seeing the album covers on his floor and the records that he's playing and all that shit. Like,
yep.
There's just so many layers that makes it amazing.
Yeah.
That was a glorious piece. I mean, that's just a piece of genius to realize, to put into this show, is expressing someone's musical taste, a character, in this case, Peacemaker, like making that part of their identity. Music is just, I mean, even if butt rock is not your thing, it speaks to a level of this character that you don't normally get. Like, that's such a sterile piece that you don't hear about a lot of fictional characters.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like something that worked with Star-Lord. like the Star-Lord mixtape was a whole fucking thing about Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
I love those mixtapes.
Absolutely. Like, realizing the emotional
connection and character building
connection.
Yeah. The way that that's going to like pull at the heartstrings of a childhood memory that you probably have and how that's going to like help to develop that character is just a really wise genius move to put into this whole thing.
Dude.
Yeah.
I just realized how I could save my hatred of Batman and turn it around. Right.
Go through his record collection.
Yes. Dude, you give me a little backstory on him and I'll become a diehard fucking Batman fan. No, absolutely. No, that's a good point. Yeah, the music and throughout Peacemaker, you're right, Chris. Like, music is a huge fucking storyteller and emotional kind of a thing, because throughout the whole show, you know, they're when they're in the van and they're all rocking out and they hate each other. And Peacemaker's like, no, man, leave the music on. And towards the end of the show, now they all love the music and they're headbanging. And just that makes you feel good. Like, there's not enough music in shows and stuff.
There's a lot of emotional connection, like you said, that brought them together when they weren't into the music together. Now, all of a sudden, they're all bonding on it. And also, like, you know, end of a hard day of getting your ass kicked and your dad being a dickhead. And then he's back at his trailer and he's playing the music. And this is like, it's relaxing him, right? It's like, you know, he's using that for like therapy too. So it's multifaceted on how much that informs the character, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, he would have never liked Economus if it hadn't been for the, what did they fucking bond over? I forget which one it was.
I can't remember the song.
Anyway, it's that part where Economus has the tattoo on his arm. And so, like, what was it? Hardcore wanted to turn the music off or something like that. And he was like, no, this fucking shit rocks or something. And then he'd been giving Economus shit about his beard being dyed and everything. Yeah. And they just had the whole...
Or dye beard.
Yeah. Dye beard. Yeah. They had their whole beef about all that. And then it turns out that he realizes that, like, Economus is also, like, a music junkie about the same kind of shit that he's into. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I got this tattoo at the show, whatever year, like, you're backstage. And he's like, holy shit. Like,
Steve Agee, goddamn right. Yeah. Dude, and again, okay, Steve Agee's character, Economus, like, his ending was great, right? Like, he gets fucked up, like, his legs fucked up, and he drags himself, but he goes in, he walks out, and that whole culmination of, like, the bad guy asked him about his beard, and he was like, telling the backstory of it, like, okay, look, I started dyeing my beard, and then they you fucking feel bad, and you bond with him over his beard being a flesh color, and he says it on the radio so everybody hears it. Like, that's some excellent writing, man. Like, it's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
James Gunn, I mean, he didn't write it, but James Gunn's the shit too, man. Like, just that whole thing was amazing, man.
Oh, another thing is they played a fucking helicopter song in the season.
But they did play a helicopter song, which
I about jumped out of my damn seat when they did that.
Some of the whatever you call them, the after credit scenes, like the one where when Peacemaker's bitching at Economus about framing his dad. And he was like, you could have picked anybody. And he just goes on a rant. And in the show, you get like five or six names. But then after the credits, if you just keep watching, like, he lists like 50 other people or something like that. And they're all celebrities too. Like, some are dead. Mm-hmm. Some are fake.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
I wonder. I think I read that John Cena like just ad-libbed that whole section.
I'm sure he did.
I watched a whole fucking like documentary with him on where he was like, a lot of those scenes, like, they would just go like, okay, roll with it, or like, what do you feel like he would say right now? And he's like, well, I think he'd say this, you know, douchebag, and then he'd say it. And so he did do a lot of ad-libbing in there, and he said they had a lot of fun or whatever, which I really want to know the Aquaman stuff. There's the one part in the very beginning of episode one of the show, getting out of the hospital after being crushed by the starfish and whatever. And he goes out to talk to the janitor that he smoked weed with, right? And he's like, fuck Aquaman. And he's like, no, don't they say that? Why would you say that about Aquaman? And he's like, he bangs chicks, good for him. He fucks dudes, got no problem with that. He starts fucking fish, taking it a step too far. And he's like, Aquaman fucks fish? And he's like, yeah, he does. He pays the guy $50 to fucking fuck a herring every night at the fucking SeaWorld or whatever. Like, that whole, the writing of that, it was so insignificant and stupid, but he left it in there. But like, that is what makes it so good. It's just brutal, awesome comedy, and, you know, God bless him for it. So, and then he's like, I saw online that he fucking pays $50. And he's like, No, he doesn't ever refuse to believe that. And he's like, well, I refuse to believe that Pepe the Frog 89 is lying to me for no good goddamn reason.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't have it up in front of me, but I love the school scene when he's there, like, talking to the kids.
Right. Yeah. What did he say? Didn't he say something about Wonder Woman? Oh, yeah. He goes, I've never met her, but she did spend an entire party IFing me from across the room. And she's like, you can't say that. And he's like, I said effing.
Right.
What was he up to, Flash? He's like, yeah, I met the Flash like everyone else has ever met him. I thought he was an unbearable douchebag. Oh, he's just saying what we all think, man.
Oh, man.
And also, like, they talk about Eagly in that part. Does a kid ask him if he has a sidekick or something? He's like, oh, yeah, I've got a pet eagle. His name's Eagly. And the kid's like, why is your eagle's name so unoriginal?
He's like, yeah, he's like, what, you got a sister named Sisterly? He's like,
what the fuck? Oh, man.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a full Because Nerd endorsement on Peacemaker, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%, man. It's great. I hope it keeps coming out. I hope it keeps going. And I've it's given me, John Cena's been good in pretty much any movie I've seen him in. I think it's awesome, man. I can't wait to see more of it. So anything else that stands out that you guys want to talk about?
Well, we keep going for a while because you could go down the path of Eagly for...
Eagly was so well done. Cool. I mean, yeah. It really does. I said this in the beginning, but it really does blow my mind. Like, look at Peacemaker's outfit. Cheap, right? They didn't spend a lot of money on that, right? Look at all these. They probably took the budget they had and they were like, the shit that's going to be CGI has got to be good CGI. And Eagly is one of those things. And the personality of Eagly, the reoccurring theme that he always flies away and brings back a muskrat. Like, yeah. He always brings it back and tries to get, you know, Peacemaker to eat it. And then he puts his armor, like, puts his wing around him. He's like, look, Eagle just hugged me. Like, such what? A good fucking thing. Yeah.
What's Amanda Waller's daughter's name? Is it Autobio?
It sounds right.
I've never looked at it spelled, right. So I really don't know how to say it. But, yeah, like, I love the part about where Peacemaker's like, you believe in miracles? She's like, I don't know. And he's like, is it? Eagle fucking hugged me today. And like, and she's like, that didn't make any sense. And he's like, hey, you believe what you want to believe. Like, you know, you let your life live. But then, like, later on, she, like, sees him, like, hugging him.
Yep.
And then, like, it gives her a whole change of heart. Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm. She's like, a fucking eagle hugging him. All right, last thing. That first episode of Peacemaker is probably one of my favorites of the entire season. I believe it's in the first. When he's getting beat up by the girl in the hotel room and he runs away and he gets to his car, puts the helmet on, and Sonic booms it, and it's she awesome. Explodes, turns into vapor. Like, holy, I did not see that coming. Holy shit. That's fucking awesome, right? Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
So that's my thoughts, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, bring more Peacemaker. So.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Well, yeah, dude, it's a great show.
Thumbs up. We're looking forward to season two.
Still want to hear more? Well, you're in luck, because there's plenty more where that came from. Check us out at becausenerd.com or search for us wherever you get your podcast. We'll catch you nerds next time.